You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. Tonight, we talk about the 1941 body horror film, The Wolfman.
Oh, you didn't say the director's name. It's George Wagner. Come on. It's like a tail. Like a, you know, like the dog wags its tail. Come on. That's funny. You know, it's like Mark Webb. He did the Spider-Man movie. He's like, oh, my name's Mark Webb. Oh, look at me.
By director George Wagner.
You no trouble. Me, Fifth Element. Supreme Being.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are cute. Sound off like you got a pair.
Yes, I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your money?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch!
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead
fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Welcome to the podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your hosts. I'm editor Brian Elkins. With me here tonight, cinematographer Jared Callen.
How you doing, Brian?
Oh, I'm good.
Good.
We're going to get hairy. And we also have with us director of photography, Mike Griggs.
Is there a wolf in the camp, or you just happen to see me?
Oh.
Don't mind me. I'll just be here popping up intermittently to bay and run away.
And we also have with us costume designer, Kristen Jones.
Hello.
Hey. And here we are talking about the Universal monster movie, the classic 1941, The Wolfman. Not to be confused with Wolfman or Wolfman, which is what all the remakes are titled.
Wolfman?
Wolfman.
Yeah, it's the same title without the in front of it, and the space those between things. Wolf and man are compressed, so it's one word, Wolfman.
Okay.
Wolfman.
I don't know.
Wolf.
Pronounce it how you want.
Bruno Wolfman.
He's a wolf man. Cool.
Is this everyone's first Universal monster movie, or have you guys seen other ones? Have you guys seen Frankenstein, Dracula?
From this era? No, I think this is my first, actually, yeah.
Same. I can't decide if I've seen Dracula or if I've just seen a lot of clips of it.
Same here, yeah. I know of it, you know. I've seen a lot of it, but there's so many of them, so you don't really know which one you're looking at, you know. But this one, I've never seen it before, but I've seen those quintessential, you know, the Wolfman peeking through the branches photos that are everywhere.
Yeah, I'm most familiar with this movie from its brief cameo in The Sandlot, where they do this cross-cutting thing with that conversation with the gypsy woman. The wolf bit you, didn't he? Yeah, he did! While, like, he's getting chased by the dog, and then he runs to the theater. Yeah. So I was actually pretty excited to finally see this for reals.
I totally forgot about it being included in The Sandlot.
they kind of trim the conversation a little bit too, to just make it like a little bit more poignant, but yeah, it works pretty great actually.
Well, I know this is y'all's first. This is literally like what I grew up on as a young man. I can't remember life before these movies. This is like my first horror. This is like this is the quintessential everything. This is before Hammer. This is before slasher films, you know. I was a young kid, couldn't go see Freddy and Jason, but I could watch, Boris Karloff do Frankenstein, Bela Lugosi do Dracula. I've never been a big fan, though, of Lon Chaney Jr., really. What did you guys think of him, the actual guy that played the Wolfman?
It's hard to watch things without modern eyes, so he's a little on the creeper side, you know? Yeah, like a little. So it's hard to be on his side a little bit because he's going after an almost married woman and creeping on her through a telescope. And
hold on. I think that was kind of normal at the time.
That's
Everyone
normal.
Got engaged after like 5 days of conversation, and so yeah, you could easily break off engagements. That happened, and I think that still happens today. Actually, I think plenty of men are known for going after married women. I'm not saying it's not creepy. I'm saying I think that's very normal.
Oh, okay.
And was he purposeful? I wasn't sure about this. Was he purposefully like spying on her, or like? The fact that he told her
he
was
wasn't
creepy.
Purposely spying.
Yeah, I didn't think he was.
He happened to come across her while he was checking out this badass telescope.
That's
he
what
made
I thought.
It creepy.
Okay. Yeah, he did make that creepy. That was creepy. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't just approach somebody and be like, you know, that jewelry on your desk in your room. Like, what the fuck, man?
Well, that was cute when he first was like, "Oh, I'm psychic," or "Oh, I've seen you before." But then he's like, "No, I actually like was looking at into your room."
Well, at least he kind of like does admit it. But at the beginning, she's like, "Wait, what the fuck?"
But she doesn't run away from it though. She's just like,
no.
Oh, okay.
She's intrigued. Yeah. I wouldn't say that he is like, that's why I don't feel like he's completely creepy for going after someone who's engaged, is because she was like, she was, she seemed interested. She seemed to at least,
she's open to
be entertained.
She
by
seemed
it.
Interested by saying no, like 4 times.
No doesn't really mean no if you're
I know,
smiling.
It fucking pissed me off, honestly. Like, when, honestly, like, I would have been fine with the entire, like, two-character relationship if just when she walked out of the shop that night, if she hadn't been looking like she was waiting for him. If he had, like, creeped up behind her while she was leaving and, like, locking the door and, like, turned around and there he was, I would have been like, okay, he is a creeper, whatever. But the fact that she walks out and she's like, do-do-do-do-do, waiting for no
And she's
one.
Wearing the earrings.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
right, that's why,
come on.
That's why I did not peg him as much of a creeper as maybe you guys, because it does seem like she's interested.
Hey, it's only creepy if the girl finds you creepy. You know what I mean? Like you can do creepy shit as long as the girl's into it. And if she's not, then then it's, you know, assault.
There was that. It still felt like a lack of consent all around. That's all I'm saying. But that part of the character notwithstanding, I don't know what I felt about Lon Chaney, the person. I've never seen him act in anything else, but like the character that he portrayed was really whiny and dweeby and kind of like pathetic is maybe the word for it. So yeah. I almost felt sorry for him, but more like, okay, let me say it this way. I wanted to feel sorry for him, and instead I was like, no, this dude's he's a creep. He's weird. Like, he, I'm not sad that he became a werewolf, actually. Like, you know. He was not sympathetic at all.
To death. Fuck that guy.
His fucking father killed him.
Speaking of his father, like, which Lon Chaney is this?
Junior.
This is Junior. Yeah. And apparently, that was not his actual real name.
Yeah, his real name was, what, Cretan or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cretan.
The studio, like, decided that they wanted him to change it so that they would get name recognition from Lon Chaney Sr. or whatever.
Yeah,
and then he became like a bigger star, and then he just became Lon Chaney, even though he was technically Junior, which is fucking wild.
Well, Lon Chaney was like, what was he known as? The Man of 1,000 Faces. I mean, I think everybody, even still today, knows Phantom of the Opera, the old black and white shot.
Even though his face was covered,
no,
well,
like
half
that's,
a face, so it counts as two.
Like, that's the famous shot where they demask him, and you see, you know, what the Phantom looks like under the mask. That's the famous shot from that, right? Yeah. Whatever. Okay. Anyway,
we'll do that one day, Brian, and we'll be able to.
He's
all be
still
like,
the
yeah,
Phantom
yeah.
of the Opera inside his mind.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, he's famous for all that stuff. So obviously, the guy, you know, is known for his makeup. So when you have the Wolfman, you want to play into the Lon Chaney Jr. esque. You know, like, look, we got his son. It's the Man of 1,000 Faces. He's not made 1,000 faces yet.
He'll get there.
He will.
Eventually.
But, I mean, yeah, his character's a little bit of a stalker, but I guess my problem with Lon Chaney Jr. is, like, he's missing a little bit of the riz. Like, when he's delivering those lines, like, there's just something a little... It's not Cary Grant. It's not Jimmy Stewart. It's just missing a little something, you know?
Yeah, I don't really care about what happens to him, and I think that's because of his delivery of things or his portrayal of the character. Yeah, I don't know how much of that is directing and how much of that is just his choices as an actor.
Yeah, I think he plays like the concerned, worried thing, and I think that comes across really well. And when he's in the Wolfman makeup, I think he's awesome.
Really?
Yeah. I take it you did not like it.
He walks like Barbie.
This is a legitimate question. Was this movie scary? Is this movie scary to anyone? Has anyone been scared by this movie?
I mean, I don't remember ever being scared of it, but...
Well, Brian, you're a different breed.
You know, yeah. I saw this so long ago. I wouldn't be able to tell you, man. I can't even tell you the first time I saw this.
I think that was a little... I could see it being suspenseful, but I don't know about scary. I don't know that the point of it was to be scared, because you're identifying with you're supposed to identify with the main character. But I don't think anyone here does. He's too dweeby, right? But I think you're supposed to identify with him, so it's not necessarily scary.
Well, I mean, all these Universal monster movies always have like a tragic element to them.
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, this was, I guess it was supposed to be scary in its day. I mean, especially those shots out in the forest at night. That stuff looks fucking amazing, man, with those fucking trees.
Oh, I love
trees
that stuff.
And,
yeah. Oh. Everything in the forest looks fucking fantastic. There's a few like lighting choices that don't quite work as well as they should, but the forest set or location or however they did that looks fucking fantastic.
I love when they punch into any close-up of like something on the ground or anything. They've got all this extra like low-lying smoke, you know. Everything's just like reeking smoke. It's really awesome. My biggest problem with all the set work, studio stuff, is you hear the echo of the studio.
And their dialogue, you mean?
Yeah, it's all over it, especially when they're out like hunting for him in the forest.
Oh.
You can hear the echo
yeah.
of the studio.
Sure. That didn't bother me so much as the weird geography in the forest. Like, there's clearly a few different sort of locations that they, I don't know if they flipped around and tried to get some different angles out of it, but like when anytime someone's chasing someone else through the forest, like there's a level of like they're right there, and then they cut back to like someone else and like they're really far away apparently.
Well, yeah, especially at the end when you know the big battle's going on and it feels like that the mob is way closer than they are.
Yeah.
And then they're just kind of out of it for a minute, and then things kind of happen, and then now they're starting to catch up. Like, the geography of distance is a little hard to...
But that catch. Then that weird, like, 3 foot off the ground deer blind thing that they
that
set
is
up,
really
that
strange.
Stupid platform...
That makes no sense as a hunting
makes
thing.
No sense.
Yeah.
But, like...
That is really
That's, like,
strange.
A, clearly some kind of centralized spot for them, or supposed to be, and like, once they kind of move past it, it's, like, on screen left-ish, like, to over there somewhere... And then they're walking around over here towards the right, and then like something happens, and then they cut back to them like turning and hearing it. But like, if they're within earshot, like how the fuck did it take them? Did they
exactly.
not see it happening? How did there's some of those kinds of things like didn't quite make sense to me.
Yeah, there's some line breaks, especially at the end battle too. Like right after Claude Rains beats his son, there's that awesome shot where it's like. He's like in between the trees, yeah. And then when they cut away, they totally break the line. They're just like, fuck geography, whoa!
There's also a lot of like, they're trying to cut on action, but things don't match. It happens a lot at the beginning. People's, you know, a lot of like continuity errors with like people's hands or, you know, just like body posture, stuff like that. You can really feel all that. Like the editing stuff isn't really that fine-tuned.
Well, it also, some of that's budget.
Yeah.
And then rushing through it.
Well, that could be the low budget, but I also had a question, especially with how short it is. It feels like, you know, it's like a serial or something. Like it's a... They're not really expounding on anything. Everything's kind of like boom, boom, boom. It just kind of moves.
Yeah.
Like a made-for-TV movie would feel today, you know? Is that just the way the style of the films were back then, these horror films, or...
I mean, yeah, most of them are pretty short.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy how quick the whole thing is.
Yeah, there were some interesting choices. Like the fact that we heard that like Wolf Bane under the thing poem like four different times.
Even a man who is pure in heart.
Like, why did we have that so many times, but we didn't have a little bit more like, I don't know, development of terror of the wolf or something like that? I don't know.
Well, I mean, some of this is made for, you got to remember, these are made for kids as well.
True.
You know, that's your biggest audience.
So do you think that cane was made to kill werewolves? Because it had to be a giant fucking wolf. It's the most impractical cane ever. Yeah, because it's so fucking heavy and huge. And it's got the fucking, you know, the pentagram thing on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that they just happen to have the one weapon that you can just really, you know, decimate, werewolves with.
It was also a putter, Jared.
Oh, it could be, yeah. It would be good, really good for that. That was just him being cute, you know.
It was a little expensive, though. £3. I mean, come on.
$15.
Which is, yeah, yeah.
It's an old stick.
So back then, you know, the pound was 5 to 1. That's kind of wild.
Yeah, that did blow my mind a little bit.
Was, yeah.
And like $15 in 1941, that's not chump change either.
That's a lot. Well, it's silver. That's a big-ass chunk of silver on the end of that thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What? I thought it was... Was the whole thing silver? I guess it was.
The head.
Silver handle.
Just the stick with the silver handle.
It was the whole thing. So I thought it was like a, you know, a wood sculpture that was like coated in
silver. No, that whole massive ass, you know, handle bit was silver.
I mean, it's a cool cane, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't carry it. It'd be too
much
to
lug around.
What if
you had a lid?
You would if you were trying to impress a woman, okay?
I just murdered somebody with this thing, and for some reason the police gave it back to me, and now I'm going to carry it around everywhere. Because look, you don't fuck with me.
I mean, yes, that's accurate.
Yeah.
Like, why did the cops give it back to him? They're like, oh, by the way, this is yours. We'll just leave this on the table here.
Well, I think it's implied that, like, because of Claude Rains, you know, like, he has the castle... with the family name and everything, I think he's got a little bit of sway, and the fact that the police captain is like constantly come over having drinks with him every night.
Yeah, he's always like, ah, you know, it's fine, just rest. We'll figure these out. Yeah, just there's no rush on all this. Or well, that's what everybody else is kind of saying around him. Yeah, everybody's a little lackadaisical about these murders that are happening.
Very
well,
yeah,
dead men have eternity.
Yeah, exactly. All you cops are always trying to rush. You know, just.
Well, I do like the town people, like, being all gossipy and not knowing all the facts and just being like, that harlot was out there with that man and she's engaged to another? Sinful. That's why my daughter is dead, because she was sinning. It's great. I love that stuff. Everybody goes and meets a church.
Yeah. I do love that fucking dolly shot where every person turns around to see him standing in the back. It's fantastic.
Is that a matte painting of that church? Like, the bottom half is the set, right? And the top's a matte painting?
You're talking about that big wide shot when they walk in?
Yeah. And you can see, back of the cathedral? I couldn't tell.
I could see that it's possible, but I really like that shot. And, like, the light coming in, it looks really nice. It's a cool-ass church if it's a real location.
Where was the shot? Was this shot in England?
No, it was all shot in the Universal. It was either shot in the Universal backlot or in a soundstage.
Okay, well, that was definitely a set.
Yeah, I know. I just been saying, like, I don't know if they built that whole wall. I mean, because like, what? It was only two stories tall. You could build that in a soundstage.
Yeah, most of the matte stuff looked really great, except for the car shots.
Car shots never look good in these old movies, though.
Yeah,
and the first shot of the castle. The first three shots of the castle, like even when he drives up, kind of in the wide shot.
Yeah, when they point to it, and he's like, yeah. And he's sitting all weird in the car. He's kind of like sitting sideways in the thing, kind of still staring at the driver there. He's kind of cocked out.
The director was like, cheat the camera.
he gets his head.
Don't make it look natural at all. Just open up.
Sit side saddle. It's fine. That seat's sideways in the car.
It still holds up, though. I mean, you know, for being as old as it is.
That's a good point. Yeah, it was still a pretty enjoyable ride for all the flaws that are in it. Like, it's still pretty fun. And the fact that it moves as fast as it does is really great.
Runtime helps with that, man. Ugh.
It does. It does. Knowing this is an 80-minute film helps it a lot. 70 minutes.
70, yeah.
70. Jesus. Yeah.
It's even better. It's actually faster than Men in Black 2. Can you believe it?
And has a better story than that movie did.
Oh, damn. Shit. Shots fired.
So do you think if the Wolfman wouldn't have died, he would end up hooking up with the lady and she would have left her husband for him?
She was, when he was like, I'm fucking leaving town, I'm a murderer, blah, blah, she was like, I'm going to go with you.
Yeah, what the fuck is all that, man? And then, but it's just so weird that she's so into him for some reason. But at the end, she's still in the arms of her fiance. Like, you know, everything's going to...
Well, I mean, why wouldn't she? He's dead. Why is she going to be like, never mind, I guess
that,
actually.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, right? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. She's like, well, never mind.
Yeah. If I was him, I'd be like, wait, what's happening? You know?
Well,
there's something about that guy I just don't like, you know? Like, it's because he's after your fucking girl, bro. Like...
Yeah, that's why they had that whole moment where he's like, oh my god, it's Larry Talbot, let's go say hello. And she's like, what the fuck for? And he's like, oh, I'm just trying to prove that I'm not jealous.
I actually really liked that.
Oh, yeah.
That was really nice.
I do hate that you don't
see... Should I be jealous?
I hate that you don't see the argument, though, that him and his girl had that she ends up walking away from.
It would have built character a little bit more. Everything feels a little surface level. All of it does, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Like, why didn't we get some of that, but we can hear the wolf poem like 4 times? Like, give me a little bit more character development.
May become a wolf when the wolfbane blooms. And the autumn moon is bright. That's right, no full moon in this one.
Just a bright one.
It's just going to be the right time of year.
I thought it said, and the moon is full and bright.
When the autumn moon is bright.
You're going to make me look this up, you son of a bitch. Even a man who is pure in heart and says his prayers by night may become a wolf when the wolfbane blooms and the autumn moon is bright. And then...
that's it.
In Frankenstein meets... Oh, in Frankenstein meets the wolfman, they change it to where it says, and the full moon is bright. So in the sequel later, they change it.
I don't think they say full moon either then.
Look here, you son of a bitch.
I just
looking
watched
it up.
That not too long ago.
Well, you weren't paying attention.
They did change it, but I don't think they say full moon even in that one. I mean, like, look, if you change it to full moon, then you're becoming a werewolf once a month. I mean, that's not how these...
As opposed to just in the fall.
Yeah. Like, this movie, it's like every night you're a werewolf.
It was weird that it was every night. And also, if the other guy was a... Okay, so Bela Lugosi's character is a werewolf, and everybody in the gypsy camp knows that, or maybe just that old lady knows that he's a werewolf, right? That's her son.
Yeah, it's just those two gypsies that show up in town first.
So, but he's traveling with them, right? So is he the only werewolf in the pack, in that pack, or are they all werewolves, or...
No, he's the only one that's a werewolf. That's why those two gypsies are traveling alone. I forget what the old lady's name, what her character name is, but, the Maria, oh my god, what was her crazy last name? She's got a...
Oh, I can't pronounce that, Brian. O-U-S-B-E-N-S-K.
I forgot what it was.
Maliva.
But yeah, her and Bela Lugosi, and that's why they're not with the rest of the gypsies, and they show up later at that, when he had the funeral.
She was pretty chill about him killing her son.
I knew it had to happen, eventually.
Yeah, she's like, alright, well, now you're part of my family.
Well, that's the other poem that comes back, like, what, 3 times? I forget how that one goes.
Yeah, there's a weird sentence in there that I can't
rest
really
now, and then you won't be a werewolf for the rest of the night.
You walk with thorns on your feet or whatever.
Oh, yeah, the thorny walk.
Is that why he goes tiptoe?
No, because the dogs, you know, that's how dogs walk. Even though it's so fucking funny that they're like, oh, this has got to be a wolf, but it's got a fucking bear print size fucking paw. They're like, was it a big wolf? What the fuck? It's the size of your hand. It's the biggest wolf you've ever fucking seen. Like, ridiculousness. For some reason, the prince goes straight to this house where this one guy is.
And everybody in town already believes in werewolves.
Yeah, so like, come on, man. It's got to be this guy. Hell, the last guy had the star on his forehead like fucking Harry Potter. You know.
He did.
Okay, so if you can manifest a star on your head, right? And then, but if you have the lycanthrope, like the fucking...
I prefer werewolfism.
The vampire gene, you can sense. What makes you see an actual pentagram in a shadow on somebody?
That's part of the werewolf curse.
You just can kind of like sense when
you
bad
know
things
that's
going to
be the next
person
you're going to kill. Apparently,
so you preemptively mark this person.
Well, I think something in
day.
You marks them. Yeah.
It's like in the Twilight thing. Or something. Yeah, no, you imprint on them. You're like, all right, this is the one.
Don't compare it to that.
I'm still disturbed
still
by that.
This is still better.
That one's mine.
Wait, 18 years.
Did you just call the baby? Did you just call dibs on the baby?
Yeah. You see those big ass scary eyes?
This is a chick flick? Mine. What is going on?
Wolves are weird, okay?
It's hot out there for a wolf.
And women complain when I show them Videodrome. I don't understand.
Trailer time, Brian.
If we're going to compare this to Videodrome, yeah. Yeah.
I guess so. We were comparing it to Twilight, sir.
Yeah. You know, the other wolf movie.
Oh, you're right. You were comparing Twilight to Videodrome. That's way better.
What do you mean, the other wolf movie? Like, there's a lot of other great werewolf films, Jared, in between there. Oh, my. All right. We're going to play the trailer now. For the Wolfman. We'll be right back.
Sever jugular. Is that the way Jenny Williams was killed?
Yes.
Find something?
Animal tracks.
Whoever is bitten by a werewolf and lives becomes a werewolf himself.
Oh, don't hand me that. You're just wasting your time.
The wolf bit you, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. You wouldn't want to run away with a murderer, would you?
Oh, Larry, you're not. You know you're not.
I killed Bela. I killed Richardson. If I stay here any longer, you can't tell who'll be next.
We're back. That was the trailer for George Wagner's The Wolfman.
I really love the old fonts in old TV shows and old cinema. The titles and stuff just look so freaking cool.
They do look pretty great.
That wasn't what's used in the trailer is not what's in the film. In the film, it's kind of got like a furry font, you know.
It's hairy.
Yeah, excuse me, hairy. Not like it's wanting to, you know, have sex with other people in furry costume. But
that's not what that correction was meant for, but thank you.
I mean, do we think that got started with this film? Like the people ideas or
like I like this hairy man. He walks on his tiptoes, he's gonna be quiet going to the kitchen.
He's gonna be quiet going to the kitchen. Listen, if people can find fucking Nosferatu sexy, then why not this? Whatever works for you.
That's just because they saw his penis. You know, there's something about that. Like, oh, okay.
Oh, something about seeing a package.
Wait, hold on. Yeah. Nobody found Nosferatu sexy, right? We found Dracula sexy.
Shit, Brian. I would not believe how many people are out there going like, oh, sexy ass Bill Skarsgård.
What?
Yeah.
No, I've heard. I've seen the Nicholas Holt Thurston online, but I have not seen like. Oh, yeah, I'm gonna get some of that vampire.
I sent you guys an incredible like drawing that someone did with him all laid out with his cock out. That somebody did.
Yeah, that was a joke.
It was a joke.
It's not like, oh, look at that sexy vampire. We're gonna get some of that.
Mm. And then I sent you another one that I saw that had Nicole Kidman in that whatever scene where she's in the movie theater just like beaming. It says, me seeing a 600-year-old vampire dong on a 70-foot IMAX screen. Like, there's some Nosferatu love out there.
I also thought that was a joke. I didn't think people were actually.
Okay, yeah. Well.
I don't know.
I also read that one the same way, Kristen. Yeah.
On the same area of the internet as you, Jared. I don't
know. Okay. Well. you guys should get out.
What is your algorithm serving you?
Bro, you wouldn't believe the crazy shit that pops up in my algorithm.
Rotten penis.
So why didn't the chick get billing in the fucking trailer? They have like the small side characters that are the dudes, but they don't get like the main other actress. They don't tell you who she is or anything like that. That's lame. Oversight.
Well, I think she was.
I don't think it was oversight.
I think it was.
Oh no! Yeah,
I think she was the least famous of the bunch. Like everybody else had been. They were either new upcomers or they were all Oscar nominated at this point.
Trying to sell the movie, Mike.
Yeah.
I get it, but I just wanted like an introducing or like and also featuring or some level of like just fucking put her in there.
She hadn't earned it yet.
Well, she did. I mean, she was even though her name wasn't mentioned, she did get like a little line in the trailer to let you know there are women in this. So that was nice.
Yeah, yeah. Besides the old woman.
And she's featured in the the opening credit actor call at the very beginning of the movie.
That's so weird.
Yeah, now that is pretty unique.
The TV show opener?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes it feel like it's a little serial or like a little TV thing. Like, yeah, it just kind of lessens the movie for me.
Yeah, the rest of the Universal Monster movies, I don't think featured that. This is the only one I can think of off the top of my head.
I mean, obviously, you know that our main character is going to become the Wolfman, but it just removes all suspense of that. It's like, and Lon Chaney as the Wolfman.
As that guy who becomes something that you don't know yet. You'll find out. Keep watching. Woo!
Well, I mean, that would have been on the posters, too. I mean, you know. Yeah.
But let's put it, you know. Actually, I just looked it up. He doesn't even have a character name. He's just the Wolfman.
He's Larry.
Larry Tabbit.
Just call him Larry.
Larry. Oh, Larry.
Yeah, it also kind of removes any amount of ambiguity as far as, like, is this actually happening for real or is it just in his mind? Like, is it... Because, I don't know, they tried to have, like, a whole conversation about, like, oh, anything that happens to a man in his mind can also transform and stuff. But, like, they didn't really go anywhere with that. Like, what was the point of having that conversation but not leaving it slightly ambiguous?
That would be more plausible if everybody else wasn't also being like, there's fucking werewolves.
Well,
you know, or like...
That's the difference between the scriptwriter and the director. So the screenwriter originally wrote this movie where, like, the werewolf was not actually featured. Well, if it was featured, it was, like, in a reflection when, like, Lon Chaney Jr. would, like, look down at something and he'd, like, he would see himself as a werewolf. But outside of that, you would not see a werewolf in the movie.
Oh, that's
so it was left vague. And then, the you know, George Wagner took this and was like, ah, fuck that. Put
he
a werewolf
knew what
in it.
He's making. Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be an interesting concept, though. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, if you like that, they did make a movie like that. The sequel to, I mean, sequel in name only to Werewolf of London called She-Wolf of London. That is what that movie is about. It's this girl, and she thinks she is becoming a werewolf, and there are all these killings in the park right next to her house. And they're all done in animalistic, you know, ways. I don't want to spoil that film for you in case we ever do
Obviously, she's the werewolf, Brian.
Spoilers.
You would be surprised with that one. That one's worth watching. I mean, I do find, like, I don't know, a lot of the Universal Monster movies, the sequels, and they tend to have, like, cooler plots overall. Like, they'll have, like, different genre bends, and they'll have, like, story twists that are not what you're expecting. Like, I don't know. What was it, Jared? You were saying, like, this movie feels, like, what was it, simple or...
It's just very surface level, you know. Is this the first werewolf movie?
No, this isn't the first werewolf. Werewolf of London predates this. That was, like, 35, 36, something like that.
What's the plot in that one?
Oh my gosh. It's this guy who goes to Tibet, and he's a botanist, and he's looking for a flower. This wolfbane or this moon orchid or some crap like that, and he picks it, and while he's there, he gets attacked by a werewolf, and then he comes back to London, and this other doctor shows up, who is the werewolf that bit him at the beginning of the movie, and he's look, I need that plant that you picked, because that's the only thing that can cure being a werewolf.
Okay.
But it doesn't actually cure it, it's only an antidote for a night, and of course they start fighting because he only brought back like two or three plants.
So, but this one, like, you know, so they mentioned that, you know, silver is the way to kill a werewolf. They're like, is that for the most, like, you know, of the ghouls and things, silver's the thing to kill it. Did this create that? It's kind of like the sunlight in Nosferatu.
Yeah, this is the first
this
time.
This, like, sets up rules. So that's kind of cool. Cause, I mean, like, when you build the world like this a little bit, it allows you to be a little more creative when you start making those sequels. You know, you can start coming up with other ways to do it. So it makes sense that they start to get a little strange or, you know, a little bit more.
Yeah, Werewolf of London, like, you can shoot a werewolf with just a regular bullet, but they have the full moon in that one. So, you know, you can see where all the werewolf mythology came from between those two films and some other ones.
It's weird that Bela Lugosi's wolf is a wolf or a dog.
Is an actual animal.
Our werewolf is a, you know, he still looks like a dude with a mask, you know. Wonder what that's about. Like, it's that's advanced stages. It's kind of like the movie Wolf.
Well,
you know, you're actually trying to become a wolf.
Maybe,
not
I guess you could.
A werewolf.
You could read it that way. I just always kind of, like, you know, it's filmmaking showmanship, right? Like, you want to wait to, like, the midway point, at least, for that makeup reveal. You know, so I guess they use, why would you use a dog instead of a man in shadow? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. They should have just done the, you know, you see his claws kind of like Nosferatu and, you know, he's walking on his tiptoes and shit and fighting, you know.
Because the makeup doesn't progress. It's always the same. He always has the same Wolfman makeup throughout the end of the movie.
Yeah.
They should have done that. They should have done a gradual, and then he like would have become a dog, like in Wolf. That would have
been cool. Oh, that would have been great. Yeah, at the very end, that would have been cool. It actually, because then his dad thinks, instead of seeing an actual wolf man, he thinks he's killing a wolf, just like the son killed the guy at the beginning. So he's like, oh, I was fighting an actual wolf, not a wolf man. So we could have made this better. It could have been deeper. It would have been a bigger transformation to do that, like, you know, change from the wolf into the man. Right in front of your father's eyes while he's
well,
like, holy
they,
fuck,
they
did
that
they
a few
do?
Years later. It's called the Shaggy Dog. Sorry, that's my favorite werewolf movie.
I need to go watch that again. Yeah,
that's a weird dog movie.
Where's the dog?
Who knows?
What'd you think about the werewolf's costume, Kristen?
His costume or the makeup?
It's like what he's wearing.
Because I just actually. When I saw of his makeup and his hair, when I saw the poster, I thought it looked awful. And then the way they did it in the movie, I didn't hate it, actually.
Well, the poster, he's like all furry, like he's like a Chewbacca, you know, like no clothes. But in the movie, he's actually exactly. wearing clothes, you know.
That's fine. That's why wouldn't he wear clothes? He's wearing clothes. He doesn't turn into, as we just discussed, he doesn't turn into anything. He's still himself, so he would still have clothes. And I did enjoy the progression of him getting hairier. And yeah, speaking of the tiptoes, it took me a good 30 seconds to be like, oh, that's how dogs walk. Because I was like, what is he doing?
I also was like, well, what the fuck is going on?
There's a big deal because they're like, oh, you know, this guy was found without his shoes. And he's always walking. It's just because, you know, you can't have feet like that and be wearing tennis shoes or, you know,
right.
loafers.
Well, I thought it was super interesting because when he first changes, he's like feeling himself change, like feeling his body change and then kind of just like, looking at his body and watching it change. And so I thought he was standing on his tiptoes as like a way of admiring his body, kind
he's
of.
Like, ooh, look at my beautiful calves.
Kind of. And then he just starts walking that way. And I was like, wait a minute.
It is a little disappointing. The werewolf transformation is feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hairy, hairy feet.
I was reading that they made him, because they were doing the progression of the hair, they made him sit still for all of this, and apparently it is the studio, and he claims he sat for hours and they wouldn't even let him like get up for lunch, and the studio is like, oh, but we logged that you ate lunch, so it's fine. I thought that was really
okay.
Right.
Yeah, it's like a 20-hour makeup job when they're doing that stuff.
Really?
Holy shit. Yeah.
Poor bastard.
And they also like kept him like pinned in place somehow, because they needed like with his hands and feet as they were doing the progression shots, they didn't want him to move. So I was reading that like he couldn't, like they would like somehow stabilize his hands and feet so he couldn't, like he actually could not move.
Just put a fucking mark down and roll it again. Jesus, how hard is that?
Well, they were actually applying the makeup on him, you know, like while he was there. They actually do a really good transformation in the sequel. Frankenstein meets the Wolfman, and Lon Chaney Jr. puts his head back, and he's in a hospital, and he puts his head back on this pillow, and they cut, and they make this plaster pillow for him to put his head in, and the pillow looks like it's wrinkled, like his head is in it, you know? And there's weight, right? And it's just it's a fucking plaster pillow, and they did the makeup, and it's, like, perfect. So when they're doing the dissolves, the only thing that really shifts is his eyes.
Hmm.
And the makeup is, you know, like dissolving on his face. It's super cool. But in this movie, we get fucking feet. I mean, I get. Well, I guess you get his face like turning back to human twice, but
oh yeah, yeah. There's a couple of those shots, and there's a little bit more of a, like an actual transition on it too, where you see like the in between stages towards the end. That was like the last part of it. Yeah, but that was a cool little effect.
That smoke is so fucking awesome too.
Best part of this film.
Yeah, probably toxic as fuck, but looks great.
Well, it's not like anybody's laying down and breathing or anything like that.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah. I think it was asbestos dust.
Cancer-causing agents look great on camera, I'm telling you.
Smoke them if you got them.
There wasn't cancer in the 40s, Brian.
You didn't live long enough to develop cancer in the 40s.
All that smoke is from all the people, all the crew smoking cigarettes on the side. Blowing it through cups of ice so it sticks to the ground.
That may be true. Anybody got anything else? No? 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 Well, all right. Seems to me like we're at ratings. Who's going first? Who is rating Wolfman? Everybody's being really quiet. Griggs has got his shoulders up.
He's got his shrugs on.
He's maybe going.
Fine. Fuck you. Fine. I'll go first. This movie's been around for a really long time, and I'm glad to have finally gotten around to watching it. I think there's a lot to love about it. The cinematography is fucking gorgeous. Like, almost every single shot is really, really, really cool. There's a lot of lighting choices that are weird. Like, specifically, I'm thinking of when the dad is walking through the forest and he talks to the gypsy woman as she's riding on the cart. Like, when you're on his shot, there's like really nice shadow and shape and contrast, and it looks fantastic. And then they cut to her angle, and she's like broadside lit, and like
the lamps on her frame. Lit.
Yeah, but like the light moves around. Like if they were lighting based on that, then like he should have also been broadside keyed, and mm-hmm. So the fact that he wasn't like some of those choices are just strange. But I don't know how much of that is. The director asking for things. There's also a bunch of shots that have way too much just fill light in them. But for the most part, man, this movie's gorgeous and like looks really, really good. Shot by the same guy that worked with Alfred Hitchcock for several movies. So yeah, it looks really cool. And the fact that this is all backlot and sets and stuff. I mean, anytime you're doing trees on a backlot, like that looks pretty fucking cool. I think some of the story elements don't hold up to time, but we're also watching it, you know, 80 years later. So I don't expect that from a movie like this. But I wanted to have more sympathy for the main character. And I don't know how much of that, again, is just directing choices or Lon Chaney Jr. deciding that he wanted to be a wimpy, dweeby, unsympathetic kind of person so that you don't care that he actually turns into the Wolfman, or what was the choice for that. But yeah, I was not sad that he was turning into the Wolfman. I was not sad that he died. It was like, yep, well, that happened. Cool. I was more sad that Bela Lugosi died than I was that he became a wolf, which I think says a lot about, again, choices. I think this movie is for what it is, it's fucking fantastic. Like this started a lot of werewolf things, and now we have a whole giant genre full of it. So thanks for that. It was pretty entertaining. I like that it moves. I think it could have spent a little bit more time building more of the world instead of having some of the repeated things that we did. But I like that we see the townspeople and they're gossipy, and the mom of the girl that dies, like shouting at everyone is a really fun little kind of side thing that builds some tension and does some good work. But I'm going to come in an 8. I think this is really solid, but there's a lot to be still improved on. But for 1941, we're still watching it in 2025. Yeah. Solid 8.
All right. An 8. I'm proud of you, Griggs. Who's going next?
I'll go next. I have never enjoyed werewolf films, and I try to avoid them, but I'm glad I watched this one because it was pretty good. I actually really enjoyed this, and I somehow I think I'm the only one of us who didn't hate the main character. I didn't like him that much, but I didn't hate him. I was a little sad that he died just because he seemed so kind of pathetic that I was kind of like hoping that like maybe he could use this new Wolfman powers to do something. And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Do something. But no, he didn't. He just died. Anyway, that's okay. I guess that's life. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the story. I enjoyed the way everything looked. I was, like I said before, I was a little... okay, I don't know that I would say this is like excellent Wolfman makeup, but it's not bad. If we're gonna do it, like, they did a good job. This is how you're gonna do it. It's good. And I thought it looked beautiful. I loved... There were certain shots that I just thought looked absolutely stunning, and I actually noted in a couple of places where I was like, wow, like the black and white really works for this. Like, so many times people will say like, oh, it's in black and white, like it's a bad thing, and for this, like, that's a plus here. Like, I don't know that I would want to watch this in color. I thought it looks really... I was actually going to rate this lower, but I think I'll give it a 10. It came out in the 40s. It's not bad. It's pretty good. It's good.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring up the black and white thing. I didn't really ever think about that the whole time watching it. Maybe it's because we've been watching more black and white stuff lately. But I was just went with it, you know? It just felt right. And also, earlier Griggs brought up that, you know, you've seen shots of this film in other movies, and it's, yeah, it's like a pop culture thing, you know. It's classic, and it's kind of cool to kind of see to finally see one of the classic Universal horror films. And I'd like to finish the set. So Claude Rains is in The Invisible Man, right? He is the Invisible Man.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. Which is kind of cool. So I need to go back and watch those. What order was this one in? How long have they been doing?
Oh, this is kind of the big five. This is the next to last one. Only Creature from the Black Lagoon's after.
It had been going for a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Dracula, Frankenstein, Invisible Man.
Mummy.
Or maybe Mummies before. Mummies before Invisible Man. Mummy, Invisible Man.
You know, it's hard to rate something like this and then, like, put a metric on it. Like, oh, you know, this is an 8, Mike. But, you know, because this is the precursor to, like, you know, it's like to the best werewolf movie of all time, Teen Wolf. You know? So, it's...
Fair. If I didn't know you were joking, I would murder you right now.
Okay, Teen Wolf 2, Jason Bateman.
Oh,
now you know. But no, man, I think it's really cool. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It's really easy to watch. I really enjoyed it. I found it to be pretty entertaining and also you know, kind of laughable. It's funny in at times just because you're looking at it and you're seeing how this man is reacting to this woman and all these things. So it's like, wow, this is a little... It makes it feel dated, right? But that's cool, though. It makes it enjoyable to watch because you get to see how we have progressed just as werewolf films have. You've got to give it a 10 because it's a classic, and looking forward to seeing more of the Universal monsters.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 10, too.
Shocker.
It's a classic. The end.
Fuck you, Mike. Okay.
I'm sorry. The worst part of this movie is when the dude is in the fucking werewolf getup. Like, he's so cheesy.
It's the Wolfman.
Hammy and overacting. Like, I just did not give a shit any time that the werewolf was on screen.
Walks with
and
his hands
that's
up
the
like
whole
this.
Point of this movie. This movie has flaws. It's not a 10. I'm sorry.
Well, hold on. Because we didn't talk about this, but I kind of came across this in my very brief research on the film. Because, I'm not a werewolf fan or person. I don't watch the movies. Is this common knowledge that werewolf movies are about puberty? Because I looking
sometimes
at this movie
through
the lens of puberty, I thought they did
this
a really
good
job. This
man is way older than puberty, Kristen.
Oh, this dude's like fucking 35 or 40 at least.
Yeah.
Like, they talk
about
him
like
being
the idea
gone
of like going to
years
and being unsure of your body, and like that's why he runs with
his
hands out, and that's why he's walking on his tiptoes. Like, he's just...
think this is more about being horny, right? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The woman's bringing the beast out in that man.
Because that's the only reason that you could give a pass to the stuff in the beginning is that he's being predatory. He's being predatory before he becomes a wolf. So the fact that he like gets turned into a werewolf is just bringing out the inner, like you said, the inner beast. It's not a subtle allegory, but it doesn't need to be. It's just when he becomes the wolf, it's really cheesy. Like when he gets caught in the trap and he's like rolling around on that fucking log. Tell me that's not cheesy as fuck.
What would you do if you got trapped?
He's an animal. That's what animals do when they're trapped. They roll.
Wait, you're talking about when he gets his legs.
He's in the bear trap.
Yeah. I thought that was fine, man.
Yeah. Okay. That didn't bother me.
I mean,
this guy is not like a cool, smart guy, okay? Like, this guy is like failing at life, and now he's like even more failing. Like, his life got worse, okay? Because they don't say what happened, like why he's estranged from his family, but his brother just died. His dad, they don't have a...
The dad just kicks that fucker out. Like,
He's kicked out.
Yeah,
but
he
why?
Doesn't. Because he's the second son. He says, like, only the firstborn in our family matter and have the birthright. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's standard. They don't kick out the other kid, though.
Well, he didn't say kick out. He says, and like, what is his line? Something like, and the second son, just like you did, usually leaves to find his own way or to whatever.
That doesn't mean you're estranged. It means that they have to, like, go get a job or, like, join
but
the
But they were estranged because, like...
Yeah, I know.
They hadn't seen each other.
That's why he... No, because he got his feelings hurt and he just stopped talking to his dad.
Well, his dad also says something like... You know, like, we come from a long line of, like, stuffy motherfucking men that don't talk about our feelings, dude. And then he's like, Don Chaney Jr. is sitting on that armrest of the chair. And he's like, yeah, tell me about it. And he's like, well, let's reassure that's never going to happen again. We're going to be all chummy, right? Let's go look at my telescope.
Yes.
Okay, I don't feel like any of this is a good enough reason to be estranged from your family. But anyway, he is estranged from his family, and his brother just died. That's why he comes back. Right. Like, he's not, like, this dude does not have a good life, is what I'm saying.
At the end, when he runs into the girl again, and he's in full wolf-like garb, does he ever break character in that to be a little bit more normal in that to her? Like he maybe recognizes her, or is he just full wolfed out?
I mean, it looks
like he's
full.
I'm trying to remember how that...
Wolfed
out. Yeah, so there's no character moment there. Okay.
The animal has taken over.
Yeah, he just... There's nothing he can do.
The character moment was before when he saw the pentagram on her hand and was like, get the fuck away from me! I'm going to kill you.
You want
to
talk about a gigantic, like, medallion that doesn't do anything. Like, that's the only thing I really kind of hate story-wise.
What, the pentagram?
Yeah, like, well, okay, so the gypsy woman gives him that little locket, right? It's got the pentagram on it, right? And... Like, she tells him, like, hey, wear this around your neck. You're not going to become a werewolf. And then he gives it to the girl, thinking it's going to protect her. And it just, I don't know, never comes up again. You don't see it. It's not mentioned.
She doesn't wear it, so it's pointless. It's
So why? That's what I'm saying. Why is it in the story?
That's not my style, not wearing that.
It's in the story to say this is all preventable if you would just do what you're supposed to do, but you don't, you know?
Listen to experts. Yeah. That's
so now you have to die.
I don't know. It would have made it would have been cool to build some suspense if, like, you know, we had seen her like wearing that locket and then she took it off, like, I don't know, right after she was going out into the woods to meet him.
They didn't have time for that, Brian. They had to say the poem four more times.
She had to take it off to hide it from her fiance because he'd be like, wait,
he'd be like, oh,
what is
this?
She gets like, oh fuck yeah, I need to hide this, and then that's when the attack happens.
Where'd that bright, shiny, golden locket come from? Your rich boy lover?
And, you know, also, her deliveries, she sounded a lot like Judy Garland, like in her deliveries.
That's oh.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Anyways, it's a 10, Mike.
It's not. There's lots of flaws. There's beautiful shots. But it's not a perfect movie. It doesn't have to be a perfect movie to be enjoyable to watch.
Doesn't have to be a perfect movie to be a 10.
Incorrect.
I guess we didn't go over the budget since we're like just continuously talking after the after the ratings. It was $180,000. That's it.
Wow.
Wow.
That's it. What is today's money?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't do that math. Come on.
Math? There's a calculator.
Whatever. I didn't type those numbers into the internet.
Hold on. Okay, so it would be $3.8 million.
Wow. Yeah.
3.8?
I got 4.4 million.
Wait, I typed in 1941.
In 2024, it would have been 3.8.
I had an extra zero or something. I don't know. Different website.
U.S. inflation count.
I'm at bis.gov.
Oh.
This is in 2013 dollars.com, apparently.
No. Yeah.
Inflation just stopped then.
Yeah, it's around $4 million, which is insane.
That's a lot of money.
That's a shit ton of money. Well, they had to build all those sets and everything. Yeah.
$4 million is a shit ton of money?
Yeah.
What movie is made for $4 million today?
A lot of movies, bro.
All right. Name one theatrical release movie that was made for $4 million that came out in theaters this year. Name one.
Well, seeing that it's just January 22nd.
Name one from last year. Name me one from last year. You know what? Fuck
you know,
it. Name
I don't
me one
have that,
from the last
I don't have that Rolodex
years.
In my brain like you do, Brian, but I guarantee you there was something.
I'm sure there was that four people saw. Jared. It's different. We're talking about something that was a box office hit. The Wolfman was a box office success. It made money. They made sequels. What movie is even close to a franchise starter that's come out in the last 20 years that cost $4 million to make? The Blair Witch Project that had a sequel? That's the
it's
only thing I can think of?
Years. And it's had three sequels, thank you.
Wait, what? No.
Yeah, there's like three of those.
No, this is Blair Witch 2, The Book of Shadows, and I don't remember shit else. Everything else is made up. Those are fan films. What? No.
Fan films.
Oh, wait. No, wait. There was that Adam Wingard Blair Witch. You're right. There is. Mm-hmm. There's. All right. Mm-hmm. There's two. There's definitely not three.
There's a new one coming out October 31st, 2025. So there's four. So Blair Witch Project, Book of Shadows, and then Blair Witch, which is the 2016, and then we get a new one this year at Halloween.
All right, okay.
And it's a Blumhouse film. So there you go.
Is David Gordon Green directing it?
Oh, God.
It's Dwight H. Little.
What? No way! From fucking yes. Halloween 4? Halloween 4, dude? Return of Michael Myers?
Yes. He also did Mark for Death, Phantom of the Opera. Free Willy 2, Broken Arrow.
Broken Arrow? No. Yeah. He did not do Broken Arrow. Sorry.
That's John Woo. Yeah. So I wonder what he did on Broken Arrow. He did something on Broken Arrow.
Yeah. Maybe his second unit or something.
Yeah. Or he may have produced
it. Says director. No, oh, he's producer. Sorry. My bad. Director of Free Willy 2, The Adventure Home. That's the one where they explain why the little fin is flopped over. Anyways.
Are you going to do Rotten Tomatoes, Jared?
No, there's no Rotten Tomatoes for this. Yes, of course there is. All right. a handsomely told tale with an affecting performance from Lon Chaney Jr. The Wolfman remains one of the classics of the Universal horror stable. All right. Rotten Tomatoes brings the Wolfman in with a 91% tomato meter, Mike, and an 80% popcorn meter.
The audience is correct on this one.
Where's a bad review?
Where's a bad review?
I just gave you one. What
no,
more
not
do
you.
Mean?
I want to hear a real bad review, not like, you know.
That was a real review.
Lon Chaney Jr. has his first big role as the Wolfman, but it would take a genius to get away with this role. I don't know. Not very good. Anyways. We're done.
So with that, you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, X, and Instagram at Movie Crew Pod. Jared, where can the audience follow you?
Brian, the audience can blah me at Instagram at Check the Gate.
God damn it. Now I can't cut that out because your joke won't make sense. You're an asshole. This is what I have to work with, ladies and gentlemen. You see that? That was a dick move.
Just planting minds throughout the whole thing.
What an ass.
He's just trying to make it more relatable.
Yeah.
And Griggs, the good co-host, where can the audience follow you?
We are all real people. We are all humans who exist.
And I'm on Instagram at Griggsy Media. That's G-R-I-G-G-S-Y Media.
And Kristen, where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Kristen Magdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
You guys can find me on X at Elkins Edits. And we're going to close out the show tonight with the main titles from The Wolfman.
That was good.
What? What was good?
The main title, like the song, comes in heavy and hard. It's awesome.
Sorry, you were looking down and I was like, what's good, Jared?
The music.